Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel, Old Testament book, speaking of God's grace, and how beautiful the theme comes through as we look at this portion of Scripture. And actually today, as we gather around the table of the Lord, our focus is on His grace and His goodness in our lives. I want to, before I go anywhere else with this, I wanted to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 4, because this is the one verse there gives us the picture that I want us to see of the problem that took place in a young boy's life, which pictures us in our great needs. And as we focus on the risen Lord today, we have to focus on the need of mankind, the desperate need of mankind in a day such as this before Almighty God. 2 Samuel chapter 4. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word, if you would. Just bow with me. Father, we thank You for the privilege of opening Your holy word to us. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us this marvelous revelation of our God and Your kindness to us, Your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray that we may relate that to our own living and that we may make application today. If we're believers, may we recognize that we are not walking as we ought to walk. We are lame. If we're not born again people, then we pray that this word may be used by Your Spirit, O Lord, to awaken that desperate need within a lost person's heart and mind. Father, we want to honor You in all we do and say today, and may Your glory be seen in the word itself. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one verse, and that is the fourth verse. Now, this is speaking about what took place in Saul's family. You remember Saul was king of Israel. He was the first king. He had started out in a pretty good way, and yet he had taken so many opportunities to do things that God desired to do in his life and in his reign. And so the kingdom was, as it were, wrenched from his hands and given to another. David had been anointed as king. Saul and his sons were in battle. Remember, David's finest friend was Jonathan, Saul's son. But there came that time when David would hear of the death of his dear friend, Jonathan. And this is what happens after this, immediately following the death of King Saul and Saul's son, Jonathan. In verse 4 it says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel." That's their death. "And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." That was a new name for him, because he had come into this world and been named Merel Baal. And had all the promises of God, and yet he was given this new name, which was empty of hope. And then if you take your Bible and turn then to the 9th chapter, we see this, and in my Bible it's entitled "David's Kindness to Mephibosheth," his old friend's son, lame son. And what I want us to do is, if you look at your bulletin, you see those things that I would like to see happen with us in our hearts and our minds as we look at this scripture. First of all, there's a powerful picture of man's fall given here. It's a type of what happened to man from Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, when man chose to obey his wants more than to obey God. And then the second is the king's gracious invitation. We have in Christ Jesus that marvelous invitation to life, renewed life, forgiveness of sins. And then the third, the lame or the destitute at the table. King David, in the kindness of God, offers Jonathan's son to come and share at his own table. And then the application, God's grace in my life, in your life, and the opportunities to share communion. Not simply this time that we gather, but this is certainly a part of that, but communion with our God, Almighty God. And so in all of this, I'm hoping that you will see that God is reminding us of fallen man and righteous and holy God. And there is a great gulf betwixt them. And there is no way for man to reach the holiness and the righteousness of God. And then God solves the problem. And what we have as we go back to the Old Testament and the prophets today, we are seeing a beautiful picture of Jesus himself who gives a gracious invitation. And David is that type of Christ, that picture of Christ for us. And he reveals the kindness and the grace of God to this lame man who in many ways would be considered dead, hopeless, unfortunate in his condition. And what I want us to do is to look at this, and I want you to go to chapter 9. I want to begin at the beginning and end at the end of that chapter. So listen, I want to read through. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Notice that. Underline it. "May I show the kindness of God." So from the beginning, David understood that his desire was to show God's kindness, not that which is built up in us of some kind, which motivated from some other source, but it's the very kindness of God. And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face, not David, but the son of Jonathan, fell on his face and did reverence. And that means he was prostrate before this king. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." That's kindness, folks. You realize in that day, when one regime lost, usually the family was put to death. Anyone who would be considered in line to succeed the former king. And so that's why David says, fear not, for I surely will show thee kindness. That's God's kind of kindness. Verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am?" Worthless, worthless. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring the fruits of thy master's son, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. was a good-sized farm. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord and the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelled in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. You notice, because he was taken in by the king, he was still lame. But he was brought to the table of the king every day, and he was provided for the king. So I took my yellow marker and I underlined a few things, and you might want to do that in this. First of all, in verse 3, I said, that I may show the kindness of God unto him. It was God's plan that grace be given to Jonathan's son, as lame as he was. And then in the 11th verse, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. In other words, David, in one sense of it all, adopted Mephibosheth as his own son. And then in verse 13, it says, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I want you to understand something. When we take the invitation of our great God and we come to his table and we eat and banquet at his table, we find that God loves us just the way we are. And he knows that we're fallen mankind. He knows we're in trouble. And he loves us anyway. And he bids us come. And we are to put our feet, our lame feet, beneath the table of the Lord. I found this to be very interesting. And I want to share some thoughts with you this morning about this man of shame, this one Mephibosheth, who was the grandson of Saul and so in line to the throne, and yet the king invites him to come and be part of his own family. What a wonderful picture we have him. David is the picture of the Lord Jesus. Mephibosheth reminds me of me and of you. A man with lame feet. And so I entitled my message, Hiding and Running from God. Unhappy was this young man, and yet he was surprised by grace. Absolutely surprised. He thought he was going to die. And yet the kindness of God was revealed through the person of David, who is a picture of the Lord Jesus and our whole situation. We have the whole scene before us. Of course, we look back at Genesis chapter 3 and we find ourselves in this whole idea of the sinfulness of mankind. We see it all around. We see of wars and rumors of wars, and we see how violence has taken over so much in our own culture, not only in our immediate culture, but all over this globe. And so we have man fighting against man. We have violence. We have violence that is a race for power. It's just part of the fallen world in which we live. And so mankind, in a real sense, has become crippled, lame. Genesis 3. And yet God has provided a way. And we see then in David's time, when Saul was king, David began to increase in power, and Saul's jealousy grew and grew and grew, and there was great violence in his heart toward David. And David and Saul was against David. It was a divided kingdom. And Saul had failed. David had been anointed the new king. He hadn't taken on the crown. Saul was king. And we see that as David is involved in this division, and the king is off with his sons fighting war, establishing his own power, we find out that somehow God had reminded David of his great friendship with Jonathan and his great promise. It had become a covenant of friendship. And we find it in 1 Samuel. In fact, if you want to read it, it's 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Then a little bit later as well. And David had determined in his heart that he was going to keep his word to his dear friend, Jonathan. And so he asked Saul's old servant if any of Jonathan's descendants were still living. Oh, yes. But he is crippled in both feet. And so we read, David has this man brought to him, Jonathan's son. And Mephibosheth comes before him, and he comes in trembling and fear, because up till that time in his life, he had been hidden away. He was no longer a king's son. He was in many ways despised in the land, and he was kind of put on hold somewhere way over the river Jordan, and he was kept there. And yet as the king calls him too, he's sure that as he bows before the king will kill him, because that's what kings did. Got rid of any problems, of any competition. And yet the king welcomes Mephibosheth. He says, "Your servant." Mephibosheth replied as he fell to his knees. And I am sure that he was thinking that David was going to strike him. But David says, "Do not be afraid. You will eat at my table for the rest of your life." That's what I meant by this whole idea of being surprised by grace. There was a day in my life when I came to the realization that I was hiding out. I was running from God. I was miserable and unhappy. God allowed me to see that so that I would see that I actually had great need. And then I was surprised by the grace of God. Most likely, that's your testimony as well. It's such a marvelous thing for us to be thinking about when our Savior says, "Do not be afraid. You come and eat at my table. I know that you're crippled. I know that you're lame. I know that you can't do things very well. I know all about you. I know how wicked your heart can be and your mind can be. But you come. You come and sit at my table. Don't be afraid." This is the love of the Lord. This is the kindness of God that had been part of that covenant of friendship between David and Jonathan years ago. God doesn't say to us, "I'll take you in if you learn to do well." He loves us just as David loved Mephibosheth, as is, crippled feet and all. And we stagger and we falter and we stumble and we fall and fail. And yet our Savior repeatedly receives us unto himself, surprised by grace. It's his grace. Jesus paid it all. Our decision to come to him may seem like a culmination of just a lifetime of failure, and yet sometimes we struggle so long and so deeply that we give up. I don't know where you stand today. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to say this. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters if you hear the gracious invitation of the King and you just come to Him. Come to Him. This is why we receive these emblems. God's grace, His mercy, the laying down of Jesus' life voluntarily. He paid the penalty of my sin and your sin and poured out His blood that that sin may be forgiven and that we may live then in the strength and His power, as lame as we may be, but we may live in His power at His table. I want you to see something here. If you would turn quickly to the 4th through the 8th verses. It says, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And he says, He's in Lodabar. And then the king sent and had him there. He faces his king. And he says in verse 7, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. I'll just lay it on you, because my love is that great." That's just a beautiful picture that we have. I want you to understand this. This is why David sought him. Look at verse 6, or verse 3. He wanted to show him the kindness of God. Secondly, in verse 6, he says he wanted to get to know him on a first name basis. Verse 7 tells us that he wanted to take care of his fears. Verse 7, again, he wanted to bless him for Jonathan's sake. God desires to bless you for Jesus' sake. He wanted to restore him to what he had lost. God recognizes that we have lost everything in the fall, and yet He wants to restore to us His own glory. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Wanted to give him satisfaction. He wanted to give him security, all here in verse 7. I know that you will be surprised if you don't know Christ. If you would come to Him, you'd be surprised at God's wonderful grace. And here we have this lame man sitting at the king's table. You see, David gave Mephibosheth all that he had lost, all that his father had ever lost. Everything now will be for his good. Verse 10 said he'll always eat at the king's table, and he'll have a position. Verse 11 assures us that he would have a position as one of the king's sons. Do you realize what happens when you come into the family of God? Everything we describe here to this lame man sitting at the king's table is ours, given to us through our Redeemer. Beside that, we will dwell eternally in the king's city. No longer in Lodabar. You know, Lodabar, you know, that's where David found him. There's no pasture land. In that day of agriculture and the preeminence of agriculture and raising that livestock, there was nothing, there was no pasture land there. It was dry. And yet now he sits at the king's table in Jerusalem, in Zion. One day we'll sit on Mount Zion at the Lord's table. And he continued to be lame in both his feet. You know what that is? It's just a picture of the fact that we are not made into super people. because Christ comes in. We deal with our flesh, our brokenness. We deal with our struggles. One of the things that we do as a church family, as individual Christians, we come usually on a monthly basis here at Calvary, and we come face to face with the reality of the perfection of Christ and the fact that it was His perfect sacrifice that enables us to sit at His table. We'll always have lame feet until we're glorified in Mount Zion. And God loves us, and He's provided for us today. And all that I want us to go away with today is that Jesus invites us to eat eternally at His table. He covers our feet at His table. He makes us white as snow at His table. 1 John 1:9 is for us as believers. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I would challenge you today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, to do what the Bible writer says when he says, meditate on this. Get it in here, but get it down here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, and thou shalt be saved. Will you trust Him? Child of God, recognize that you have lame feet, yes, but we may come cleansed, made every whit whole as we come to the table of the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? And would you use this time as time of confession? We're going to ask the Spirit of God to bring to our minds anything that would hinder us as we come to this table. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege we have to gather in this way and to recognize You, O Lord, as our mighty God, our King of kings. We thank You today that as we come recognizing that You are a God of grace, and that kindness which David gave willingly to Jonathan's son, O Lord, we find at Your hand even now extended to us. Our Father, as we sang that song, I stand in wonder as my God restores my soul. His own blood has paid my ransom, awesome cost to make me whole. O God, we would open our hearts before You. We would confess, O Lord, that we have failed. No, Father, we would receive that forgiveness based upon the blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed on Calvary's cross. And, O Father, we would receive these symbols of grace with joy, with a sense of being astounded, a sense of wonder, O Lord, that You love us. Thank You, Father, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.